Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hey there, welcome to the Linda McKenzie Show, and this week let's remember to be like water, adapt yourself without losing your nature. Our guest today is Ellen Everett Hopman, and she's author of Celtic Druidry. I can't even say that, Druidry, and I'll be giving you lots of fun and useful information, as well as answering your natural health, mind, and spirit questions later on in the show. But right now, let's get to our guest. Today we have with us Ellen Everett Hopman. She's author of Celtic Druidry, and Ellen is a multi-book author. She's a master herbalist, a lay homeopath, and druid who is the founding member of the Order of the White Oak. And she's been on before, and we love having her back. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ellen, it is always such a pleasure to have you because you have an expanded knowledge of the actual essences of the earth that actually help people throughout their lives. And no matter what book you're writing, no matter what you're doing, you're helping the planet, and you're helping balance people and the planet, and I love you for it.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, exactly, right? Don't we all? And sometimes they're a little hard to get through. You want to go, hey, wake up. Here's a brook. Wake up. You know? Well, let me tell me a little bit about what is a druid and what is not a druid.
Oh, boy, that is a huge topic. One could write a book about it.
But, right.
Yeah, well, there's many different kinds of druids, but the one thing that druids all have in common is that we are part of nature religion, which means that we see the sacred in all nature, so the trees, the rocks, the fire, the water, the air, the stones, the earth, the animals, the insects, it's all sacred to us, and we also honor the old Celtic, primarily earth traditions, so the old Celtic earth festivals that celebrate the harvests and the seasons of the year, things like that. But again, there's many different kinds of druids, and the kind of druid that I am is called a Celtic Reconstructionist Druid, which means that about half of what we do is nature-oriented, and the other half is scholarly.
Ah, yeah.
We like
so,
to read books.
Right. And, okay. And that makes a lot of sense. What are some of the druidic festivals and the high holy days?
Okay, well, the most important ones for us, and actually we have one coming up in just a couple of weeks, which is Lunasa, or it's the festival of the start of the grain harvest, which is one of the most important holy days for us. We have four what you would call high holy days throughout the year. So Lunasa, which is actually celebrated anywhere from the end of July to the second week of August, was a time for horse racing, contracts, marriages, and poetry competitions, and just a lot of people showing off their clothes and just, you know, showing how fabulous they were, basically. But it's a harvest festival. It's the big harvest festival. And then the one after that would be we have Imbolc. Or, I'm sorry, Samhain, which is what Americans call Halloween, which is interesting because our culture still remembers Halloween, which is actually an ancient Celtic observance, and that's the end of the harvest. That's the official end of the harvest when all the produce from the fields is supposed to be in the barn, locked safely away, because anything that's left out after that belongs to the fairies. And you know, we still remember ghosts and all that, and that's because at that time of year the leaves are falling and it looks like things are, like the vegetation is dying, and it was the time when the weather got cooler, so you would slaughter the animals in the farm, you know, and process the meat, make sausages, salt down the meat, things like that. So there was a lot of death going on, so you give thanks. It's primarily giving thanks to the ancestors and to the all the powers of nature that fed you throughout the year. It's, you know, it's not an ooky spooky thing the way people think of it today. It's thanking the ancestors. Then you have Imbolc, which is February, and that's when the sheep started giving milk again, which back in the day was a big deal because you couldn't just walk down to the Stop and Shop and pick up a gallon of milk. You know, the cows, the sheep, everybody would stop giving milk for months during the winter, and then when the milk came back in February, that was a big deal. So it's a milk festival. It's also in honor of the goddess Bridget, who's the goddess of the forge and the fire. And again, these are all huge topics. I can only just barely, you know, describe them. And then May Day, which would be in May, the full moon of May, which is a celebration of fertility, of course. And it's when the flowers are blooming and nature is coming back. So that's, it's the wheel, it's called the wheel of the year. It's the cycle of the year. But there's goddesses and gods that are associated with each of the festivals. And they all follow the cycles of nature. That's what it's all about.
Well, and I think that that's a great thing anyway. We should always be grateful and thankful and understand the revolution of life, because it just revolves over and over and over again. And so understanding it and having a place in it gives you some stability. It gives you some, you know, stanchion that, you know, that you belong, and you understand a little bit. It's more than all about you. It's about the whole process and going with the process. So I think that's great, you know.
Right. It's the whole cycle of life.
Right.
And we're a part of it. And that's something that our culture has forgotten. Because, you know, it's so easy. In the middle of winter, we can buy strawberries, you know. Nobody could do that back in ancient times. And so they had to give thanks when the strawberries appeared. That was a big time to give thanks. And, you know, we've forgotten this to our own peril.
Right, yeah. Right. I believe that, too. I think that things come too easily, and I think that people don't have to fight or struggle or think anymore, but you know, well, that's a whole big other thing. I mean, where things are trying to get you to go there, but you know, all I know is this, is that when I get out in nature and I'm following the rhythm of nature, where I'm being grateful and not stepping on that ant, you know, asking it to move, and then unless it really wants to annoy me. But once you're starting to do that, you start to rejuvenate and you start to understand what is really real and not all the things that you have, or and half the stuff that you can get anyway, you can't, you know, you don't want to eat because it's not really grown efficiently and it's all bioengineered and GMO and whatever. So and then who needs all those clothes? I mean, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you got to do, you know. And it's very good to get back to nature no matter what, because it restores your soul.
That's certainly true. And just sitting in nature, just being quiet and sitting on the ground, that's all you have to do. You don't have to do an elaborate ritual. You can just go sit under a tree and just listen.
Right.
Listen to the leaves, listen to the birds. Just take a few minutes to do that, and then the spirit of nature will enter you, and then you can, you know, you can go from there. But it's you just walk outside your door and look at the sky and appreciate what's at your feet.
Right. Just taking a moment. I'll tell you a fun story. When my grandson was about three or four years old, I took him to the park, and I put my hand on a tree, and I said, "Can you hear the story that the tree is telling you?" He says, He says, I said, put your hand on the tree. So he puts his hand on the tree. I says, do you feel and hear the story? He goes, tell me the story, Grandma. Tell me the story. So I put my hand on the tree, and we sat down, and I started telling him the story. And all these other little kids came around, and they said, I said, well, touch the tree. You know, can you hear the story? And they all came around in a big circle. And then after I was done, they would go, Grandma, come and read this tree. Grandma, read this tree. And they're running around. And so I ran around with them and taught them about the trees. And then when we would see a bumblebee, I would say to my grandson, I said, he'd kind of flinch from the bumblebee. And I said, you know, that bumblebee is really a nice guy. I mean, he supports us. If it wasn't for him, we couldn't exist. And I would tell him the whole stories. And these were little things when he was young, so that he would get the appreciation of everything there, you know. And it's a wonderful thing to bring your kids and teach them these things, you know, because it opens up a wide world for them and a respect for nature that if you don't instill it in them, I think we innately have it, you know, and sometimes nature, if you're not, you know, will put you in a position where you know that it's in charge.
Well, yeah, we're getting there.
Right, right. And why not? I mean, we've not done our part of the bargain, right? And she's a little annoyed. And I'm glad that she's rising up a little bit. I don't feel bad because I think she's going to spare me because she knows I'm a good girl. The ones that are in the light, I think, are going to be okay. Anyway, you know more about that than I do, but that's okay. I'm going to just let that go. What is Brehon Law, and did I pronounce that right?
Okay, the Brehon Law is the ancient tribal law, and I talk about that in the book. The book is called Celtic Druidry. The Brehon Law was before the Christian missionaries came. There were these beautiful tribal laws, and the only reason we have them, which is fortunate, is that the missionaries wrote them down, because before that everything was in the oral tradition, and the missionaries had to write things down because they had to learn about the laws and the gods and the goddesses and all the wisdom tales and the stories, so that when they went from village to village converting people, they wouldn't look like they were ignorant, you know, so they had to do that. So, and they did tend to mess with things a little bit, and sometimes it's hard to know what the missionaries injected, you know, or left out, but for the most part we have the laws, and some of them are fascinating. There's an entire volume of bee laws, for example, and this has to do with if you have a hive of bees, for example, it's an entire book. But if your bees decide to hive off and go to somebody else's farm, who gets the honey? Does the original owner of the bees get the honey, or does the new farmer who now has the bees get the honey? So the laws talk about how to share the honey. Or if your bees leave your house and go to somebody else's garden and they say start sucking on the flowers, that's how they put it, to get nourishment, because they thought of them as animals, you know, sucking on the flowers to get nourishment. Who gets the honey? Who gets the wax, you know? And it outlines very carefully who gets what, you know, and that's an entire volume. And then there's other laws just for farming. If somebody's sheep wanders into your herb garden, say you have a nice woad patch, and woad was an herb that was used for dyeing cloth. That's where you get the beautiful blue color. You also get pink and gold and so on. So woad was important. So you have this nice woad patch going, and your neighbor's sheep comes over and eats it, okay? Now what? So the laws, you know, say a shearing for a shearing. The sheep sheared the woad patch, so the owner of the sheep now owes a shearing of wool to the owner of the woad who lost their woad. You know, it's like that. And I mean, there's wonderful, wonderful ones. Like my favorite one is the laws of hospitality said that the first drink in the alehouse was always free. So there was a case where a cow came to the alehouse, and there happened to be a bucket of ale sitting outside on a bench. And the cow drank the ale. Okay, so the owner of the alehouse was not very happy and was very annoyed, and went to the Brehon, who's the judge, who would, by the way, the Brehons were druids. So he goes to the Brehon, and he complains, and he says, the cow owner won't compensate me for the ale that the cow drank. And the judge says, the law declares that the first drink at the alehouse is free. Therefore, no penalty.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
And you could just picture the cow, you know, walking down the road listening to one guy, you know, after drinking an entire pail full of ale.
Plus,
but, yeah, it's like that. And they thought so carefully, you know, about injuries and if it drew enough blood to fill a hazelnut or half of a hazelnut or half of an eggshell, you know, what the penalty would be. And it was just excruciatingly careful like that. But the whole point was restitution, to keep the community going, to keep the community happy, who owed what, so that there wouldn't be bad feelings, you know, so that people knew that if they did something bad, that they would have to pay the penalty. And, you know, it's a great system. It's restorative justice, basically.
Oh, well, that's a great way to do it. I mean, today, you know, it's really interesting to me today the way that justice is meted out. Somebody that steals something or does something that's maybe a misdemeanor, if the political way of doing things or whatever, or the judgment of the people, they get higher sentences than the guy that murdered six people. You know, there's no really continuity between our justice systems anymore. You know, I don't know where they're gone. So it's better to stay back in basics, which I think that's what these laws of the past seem to do. You know, is not encroach on individual freedoms, but in making fairness so that there is no disturbance or riot, or everyone knows what's going on when they go in, and therefore there's much more balance and happiness in a community with this.
Yeah, the other part was that they didn't really have a concept of individuality the way we do today, so that if you did something bad, four generations of your family were responsible.
Oh, well, well.
Called the Terrafin. So you can imagine if somebody did something and then they went home, what would happen, you know?
Right, exactly.
Their grandparents, their parents, their great-grandparents would all be involved.
Wow, wow. Listen, I just don't, my mother's on the other side. I still don't want to hear her. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Can you imagine? Anyway, now what are some of the practices and magic and spirituality of a druid?
Oh, boy, again,
I know.
That's a huge topic.
I know.
No, I have quite a few examples that are actually historic examples of almost, you could call them shamanic techniques that druids did to divine the future or to get answers to questions. You know, people would come to the druids. The druids were the equivalent of Brahmins. They were the educated, sacred, hereditary caste. And people would come to them with important questions like, who should the next king be? That kind of thing. And so we have actual exercises that they did. And one, for example, if the tribes couldn't figure out who the next king should be, because the kings, by the way, were elected, and they could be fired.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And all this was lost when the Romans came in. The Romans, of course, were imperial, hierarchical, you know, the Roman system. The Romans never got to Ireland, thank goodness, but the Roman way of thinking, which came in, really wrecked everything, especially for women. But
right.
that's a whole other topic. But, for example, if the tribes were having a hard time figuring out who the king should be, they might ask a druid to go into trance by killing a cow, and there's nothing ooky about that. Remember that, you know, if you wanted to eat, you had to kill an animal. You couldn't go down to the Stop and Shop, right? So you sacrificed the cow, and then you took off the hide, and the fresh hide was turned inside out, thank goodness. So the fur side was inside and the flesh side was outside. It was sewn into a bag, and the druid had to go inside the bag, which is a lot like going into the womb. It's going back into the womb. A lot of these exercises, when I look at them, they're very womb and feminine oriented, which is fascinating to me. But anyway, it's like going back to the womb. They go into the bag, they sew up the bag, they leave the druid in there, usually for, well, depending on how skillful the druid is, quickly or up to 3 days. And the druid gets a message from the gods and then gets let out of the bag and comes out with the answer of who the king should be.
So, yeah, out of the bag, right? We have to take a break, I think. So we're going to be right back with Ellen Everett Hopman and get more stories about Celtic Druidry. And you can get the book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or any bookstore. So get it. And we'll be right back. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions, plus you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit LindaMcKenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we have with us Ellen Everett Hopman, and we're talking about her book, Celtic Druidry. And we were just talking about, before the break, about how the druid gets into a cowhide and comes up with an answer, and that's a pretty good thing. I mean, sometimes we meditate and maybe we don't get into the cowhide, but you know, I get information all the time when I'm just really very still. So in a good place like that, where it's you know, sacred in that is going to be giving more energy so that he can be there. But I got a flashback because I've been psychic since I'm 8, and I got a flashback of when you were telling me of a particular druid, and the reason that he had to stay there in 3 days is because he was too much an ego. And God was kind of saying, hey, you know, you're going to have to stay in here. I'm not giving you any information until you get everything right and stop being nasty to everybody because you want something your way, you know. So anyway, I got this whole story. So I love it when you talk because I get to jump where you're at and can see where you've been, and not all the places, but, you know, in some places where you let me. Anyway, so... Anyway, so they have all sorts of practices and magic and spirituality, but you also talk in your book, what I'm trying to do is give an overview of everything's in the book, and everything in the book is in much more detail, and it's very easy to read and easy to understand, and it's just a wonderful collector's item for your library, because it just gives so many wonderful information about so many things. So one of the things I'm going to talk about is herbal charms. What are herbal charms?
Well, in the book, I have charms from the Outer Hebrides, which is the Western Isles of Scotland. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm a Celtic Reconstructionist Druid. And what that means is we try to find the old material, the oldest that we can, and we really like 7th century writings, for example. That's the kind of thing that we look for because that's closest to what the ancient druids were thinking and doing. But there's a wonderful book called the Carmina Gadelica, which is actually several volumes, and it's in public domain now, which is nice. But around 1900, Alexander Carmichael went to the Western Isles of Scotland and he was a folklorist, and he was collecting the hymns and incantations, that's what he called them, that the people had, which had been passed down orally for generation after generation for many centuries. And so there are these wonderful little herb charms, you know, things to say when you're picking yarrow, things to say when you see shamrocks, you know, things like that. And I just give a taste because, again, the Carmina Gadelica, there's several volumes, but I just give a taste of all these things so that people can have a sense. And then if they like what they see, of course, they can always go look for the material.
Right. I mean, in your herbal charms, you'll have something like a secret name and a common herb name and Latin name.
Yeah,
that's really fun.
That's something different. That's most people are familiar with, for example, William Shakespeare's Double, Double, Toil and Trouble, you know, where the three witches over the cauldron. And I don't have it in front of me, but all the terms, like, you know, people think of Eye of Newt and Wing of Bat and things like that. Those are not actually animal parts. Those are herbs.
Yeah, because I'm looking at semen of Hermes, and that's dill.
That's
really great.
And it was done for a reason because in the Middle Ages and after that, there were these unpleasant episodes called the witch hunts.
Right, right.
And alchemists and witches and people like that had to use secret language for things, for plants or chemicals if you were an alchemist, you know. And so I just give a taste. Again, there's a lot more of these, but I do list in a footnote, I list sources where you can go to find more of these. But I think I have about 6 pages of names of just secret names of plants.
Oh, I think it's fun. I think it's fun to know this stuff. And I think that there's a power in that, too, you know, in knowing that name, I think there's just power in that. I also found that was really cute, and not cute, but, you know, it is cute to me, but there's a way to tell time by flowers.
Right, because different species of flowers will always open at the exact same time every day, and they will close at the exact same time every day. So if you get to know your garden, You know, watch your garden and see what's going on with the plants. Again, I give some examples. There's more out there. But, you know, what time do the daylilies open? What time do the daylilies close? You know, that kind of thing. And you can actually tell exactly what time of day it is. You don't need a watch.
Right. And also weather forecasting. There's a whole bunch of wonderful things in the book, and they're examples. And then the nice thing about the book, though, Ellen, is that you give them a taste so that if they want to learn more, they can go ahead and learn more. And I think that's a really good way, because everybody's journey is kind of personal. And so to give, sometimes when you give something for one person, it may mean a subtlety to somebody else, something different. So by giving them the basics, they can go ahead and learn and do things as they're supposed to do it. The next question I have is, how and why do druids interact with nature and trees? I mean, you always hear about the druids and the oak tree. What's all about that all about?
Well, I like to say every tree is a church for a druid. And you can be in front of any tree. It doesn't have to be an oak tree. The tree can be 6 inches high. It could be 300 feet high. It doesn't matter. If you're in front of a tree, you're in church. Because the roots go down to the underworld of the ancestors and the she. The she are the fairies. And that's the, it's called the realm of sea, because everybody knows if you keep digging, you're going to hit water, right? So the sea realm is underground, and the trunk is in what you would call the middle world, where the animals and the people, the birds and the insects, everybody's in the middle realm. That's the trunk. And then the branches go up to the sky world of the gods. That's where the gods and goddesses are. And those three worlds, that's the cosmology of the ancient Celts. And I mean, oak was important, was most important in Gaul, which is roughly what we call France, but right, parts of Germany, and but mostly France. And then in Scotland, it was rowan or mountain ash was more important. In Ireland, yew and ash were the most important, but then also oak. So it varies, but a tree just by itself, any tree, even if you're on Mars, and I can visualize people living on Mars with little trees planted in their shelters.
Yeah.
That's the church. That's when you're in church, is when you're in front of a tree. And then I should mention, people have a misconception of what a Celt is. This is Celtic religion, okay? Most people today seem to think that a Celt is an Irish person or a Scottish person, probably wearing a kilt, probably with red hair. That's what people seem to think. But the Celtic culture actually spanned from the north of Scotland, all of Britain, Ireland, all the way down through France to northern Spain. That was all Celtic. And then east, all the way to the Black Sea, and then down into Turkey.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I didn't know the Turkey part, but I could, it makes sense.
Yeah, Galatia. It's called Galatia. You know, in the Bible,
the epistle
to the Galatians, they were Celts.
Well, I loved Latin, so in high school I had 4 years of Latin. So I read everything about the attack from the journals. Can you stay with us one more 8-minute segment?
Sure.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a Self-Discovery Reference Guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's hip Psychic Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free, scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next hip Psychic Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on events for more details.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practiced enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit lindamckenzie.net for more information. And call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we have one of my favorite people, Ellen Everett Hopman. And, you know, Ellen, you and I have a lot of... I love getting back. I wish I had the time, but God and life has me doing other work, you know, like running this radio station so that people can stay positive. But I would have loved to do all these wonderful scholarly pursuits that you did. And that's why I took Latin for 4 years. And I actually read the, and being psychic was interesting to actually read and, the actual words when they went into Britain and tried to do the and the Gallic Wars and all of these things where they were over trying to overcome these things, for the Romans were thinking they were overcoming it, and yet it was just interesting to read that in the perspective, and actually when they were writing it, you know, actually see the perspective from the Celtic part as well as the Roman part, and just understand what an upset that was. And by actually reading things is really, you know, takes you there, you know, when you're reading actual text from that time. And that's why, you know, when all your books, especially this one, has a lot of references to ancient historical fact and text and whatever. So it gives you more of a feeling of realness because it's closer to the truth, you know?
Yeah, you have to be very careful, though, especially when you're reading Julius Caesar.
Yeah, tell me, I know.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to remember who he was. He was a politician. He was, you know, trying to rise in the ranks, and he had his military campaigns because he was trying to gain prestige and notoriety and become a successful political leader. And in order to have all the wars, he had to raise money, and so he had to make the Celts look bad.
Right, and they weren't, actually. They were just nature. They just said, as a matter of fact, I think the Celtic people, didn't they? I felt that they were offering peace, and they just were just absolutely military.
Yeah, the Celts had, there was no concept of genocide until the Romans showed up.
Right.
I mean, the Celts were constantly fighting with each other. They were stealing each other's cows. They were stealing each other's women. You know, but there were, again, there's elaborate laws for all this. There's marriages and You know, if you stole a woman and she didn't complain, you were married, you know, that kind of thing. And that's in the laws, you know. But they had no concept of moving into an area and just killing everybody.
Right.
And that didn't happen until the Romans came in. And then there are these ideas that we still have today. For example, the Wicker Man, that drives me crazy because there's absolutely no evidence that the Celts were wholesale burning people and animals in Wicker Men.
Oh, right.
That seems to be a fantasy. And when you think about what the Romans were doing at that time in the circuses, torturing animals, killing people, and they had to make the Celts look worse.
Right. But, you know, but in some areas, the Celts actually overcame the Romans, I think in Europe, some part of Europe. And they could not take over that territory, no matter what they did, because after a while, the Celts, you know, they're not stupid people. You know, they're pretty smart, you know. And they're not looking for, you know, war, but, you know, don't poke the hornet's nest because you're going to get a hornet, you know? And rightly so, you know?
The Romans never got to the north of Scotland.
Right.
And that was actually Picts. Some people, we don't really know that much about the Picts. Some people think that they were Celtic. Some people think that they weren't. But the Picts stopped the Romans, and that ended the expansion of the Roman Empire.
Right. And then they, even the Germanic tribes, which I think weren't the Germanic tribes also almost like a Druidry?
They're very similar. In fact, Caesar said that everything west of the Rhine was of the Rhine River was Celtic. I mean, he said they were the same people. There's a great book if you're interested called The Lady with a Mead Cup. I highly recommend because it talks about the similarities and some differences, but a lot of similarities between the Germanic Celts and the other Celts. You know,
is that book old? Because I think I read that.
It's not that old.
Okay, then I didn't read it.
I'm not sure when it was published. Maybe in the 70s. I don't know.
80s. Oh yeah, I could have read it.
But it's a great book. Lady with a Mead Cup, and what I like about it is, again, there's a popular misconception that people have that Druids were all old men with beards, you know, and actually women had very important spiritual roles, and there were female Druids, and I even have an article floating around on the internet that you can find if you put my name, Ellen Everett Hopman, and female Druids, the article should come up. But, I mean, I wrote a whole piece about that, about the evidence for female Druids, which tends to get ignored. I don't know why.
Well, because, you know, they're so insecure. You know, we're not naming names, but we're saying men are a little insecure. You know,
yeah.
So.
But anyway, The Lady with the Mead Cup talks about it gives you the actual rituals that were done, and a woman had to pass the mead around. She had to pour the mead, she had to give the warriors the mead, and then they would declare their oaths. And if you declared an oath at the feast over the mead cup that you were holding in your hand, you had to do it or die trying.
Right. Well,
it was a woman that made the whole religious context possible. And
well,
again,
just like as we give birth as well, we make, you know, humanity possible too, you know. So, I mean, you know, everything has balance. We are almost out of time. Tell us a little bit about where people can find out more about you and your book.
Okay, well, my website is just elleneverthopman.com, but you can find all my books, for example, on Amazon. I have an author page. So if you put Ellen Everett Hopman author or author page, you can find all my books. You can find all my books on my website. Barnes & Noble, Simon & Schuster have my books. And if you want to study Druidism, if you're interested in going further with that, the group that I had founded and then was arch-Druid of until very recently is called Tribe of the Oak. So if you go to tribeoftheoak.org, you will find our website, and there's a list of books there, recommended reading, basic texts, We have some virtual shrines where you can see who the gods and goddesses are. And you can also apply to study with us.
Oh, great. That's really great. Thank you so much, Ellen, for taking some time with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy Lunasa to everybody. The Harvest Festival is coming up, and we should honor the people that grew the grain and the people that processed the grain to make flour and make bread, and the sun and the rain and all the forces that went into making the grain grow.
Well, thank you so much. And with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practice, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information and call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions. Plus, you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we're going to go into our herb of the week. Herbs are natural medicine that need to be treated with knowledge and respect. So, in honor of Ellen Everett Hopman, we're going to talk about vervain. That's right. That was one of the Druids' most sacred herbs. And vervain was a sacred plant by the Romans, who used it to purify homes and temples. It's associated with magic and ritual, and it was still popular in the 17th century. And he said, you know, some of the people were saying, oh, it's used for witchcraft and sorceries, but that wasn't quite true. The herb was traditionally used for dropsy. Cardioactive glycosides have been identified in the plant to help support this use. And the aerial parts of the plant was used as an effective nerve tonic, a liver stimulant, a urinary cleanser, and a fever remedy. And the aerial parts were also encouraged milk flow and could be taken in labor to stimulate contractions. They have a number of topical uses for sores, wounds, and and gum disorders. Now, in China, the plant is known as Ma Bin Gao, and the aerial parts are used mainly as a fever remedy for malaria and influenza. And vervain also is one of the Dr. Bach's original 12 flower remedies used for mental stress and overexertion. And it especially when it was related to insomnia and an inability to relax. And there's also ointments that you can use. You can use it on eczema, wounds, and weeping sores, and also for painful neuralgia. Now, there are some cautions. Avoid using vervain in pregnancy, as it is a uterine stimulant, but it may be taken during labor. And if taking the tincture, for, you know, like the Bach flower tincture, for, or if you take it for liver disorders, make sure that you're using a hot water method to reduce the alcohol when you make it, okay? Because that will be better for you. All right, let's get to our gemstone of the week. And gemstones have energies, and by carrying or wearing a stone, we may be able to amplify our own energy. And we're going to talk a little bit about alexandrite. I like alexandrite. It is a very unique stone. It's usually, the good ones come from Russia. And the stone changes from red, blood red, to light red, to all the way down to blue, dark blue and turquoise. One stone. And it's usually about $5,000. This was 25 years ago when I wanted to buy one. It was $5,000. For a quarter carat. So, and they are, and the interesting thing about alexandrite is that it is higher priced than diamonds, and they have just as much security for them than they, as they do for diamond. So it's kind of interesting. So it's really a variety of chrysoberyl, and it exhibits the color from green by sunlight and red violet by artificial light, and it just moves through the whole thing. It's beautiful. I had one, a boyfriend of mine had in high school, gave me his, and they thought it was an amethyst, but it was actually an alexandrite. And so I wore his ring around my neck, you know, those days when you were going steady with a guy, you wore his ring around your neck, right, on a chain. And that was a beautiful, beautiful stone. I was really sad to give that back up, you know, when I had to break up with him. But it's a very rare gemstone, and it's regarded as having regenerative powers. It enhances the rebirth of both the inner and outer self. It provides expedite of changing your world while producing a quality of expanding your world and expanding creativity and awareness in the realm of manifestation. The energy of the crystal is especially conducive to acts of manifestation. So if you hold one or have one, it's very, very good for that. It can also be used to facilitate the alignment of the mental, emotional, and etheric bodies, creating a more balanced emotional state. And the crystals actually can help you return to the origin of time and to connect with the beginning of your own development. And so that helps you get an understanding of and a sensitivity towards what remains to be learned, and provides insight in the efforts of in an effortless way to attain a higher realization of who you are. In healing, in the Orient, it is regarded as a magical gemstone, bringing good fortune to its owner. In healing, it's been used to treat disorders of the spleen, the testicles, and pancreas, and the regeneration of neurological tissue at the cellular level. It has also helped to improve dis-ease of the nervous system, to treat disorders which are associated with leukemia, and to also enhance the assimilation of protein. And that's a little bit about our gemstone of the week. Ba-boom. I don't know what that was, but that was ba-boom. Okay. Anyway, there's lots of good things that you can find on my website, lindamckenzie.net. The new predictions are up there, so go to Linda McKenzie, that's MacKenzie.net. And things are changing, but I feel that they're going to be really changing for the good, so don't get upset or get disturbed. just relax. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, or at least you were. I want to say thank you for listening. If you'd like to drop me a line, you can send an email to linda@lindamckenzie.net. That's me, linda@lindamckenzie.net. You know, take a look at my website. You know, there's a new TV show that's going to be coming up soon, and you can find when it's going to air there. And I just want to say I've enjoyed this hour with you. So until next time, this is Linda McKenzie, wishing you a week of education, forgiveness, and balance. Bye.